In August of 2024, Swinburne University sent vials full of the mycelium or roots of three types of edible mushroom to the International Space Station. They made it there on board a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket and lived in space for a month before returning to Earth. And the journey of the mushroom roots ended recently in a frying pan in Melbourne, where they were cooked in a cheesy sauce and apparently tasted delicious. We're joined today by the program lead of this project and one of the people who's eaten the world's first space mushrooms, Dr. Sarah Webb, astrophysicist at Swinburne University. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
This is very interesting news. I gather it's the first time that mushrooms have been grown and eaten from a space crop. Tell us the background to this project.
So this project actually came about from a group of really curious high school students. Each year we work with about 12 high school students to teach them the fundamentals of space science because they're so interested. And we get them to design what they think would be a good International Space Station experiment. And then we hone it in and work with our scientists at the university to make that a possibility. And so this began back in 2023 when a student came up excitedly to me and said, "We should put mushrooms in space." And I said, "That sounds really great. Let's go into why." And then it was about a year of us digging into the fundamentals of different types of mushrooms and how they help our brain and gut health and how that could be used not only in space, but in the moon. And then how could it even help us back here on Earth? And it was just the most perfect project. And I'm so proud that we were able to do it.
Well, look, I'm all on board with the whole mushrooms in space concept, Sarah. But just to clarify a little bit more, why was it that the student particularly chose mushrooms and why was that then sort of verified by that process you've just described that meant that you were able to send the stuff up to the space station?
I think it's because we had a session with them where we had a few of us different researchers. We all had PhDs in different things and we're just talking about what made us excited. And we had one researcher that was talking about nutrition in space. We had one researcher that was talking about how fungi on the Earth is just so adaptable and can even do really interesting things in radiation. They had me talking about past experiments that we'd sent related to food and how we think food is fundamental for space exploration. So there was all this combination of things that they had learned. And they said, you know, they chatted to their friends and said, "I think fungi would be interesting for X, Y, and Z." And so we went even deeper and said, "Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at the different chemicals that are in some of the different types of fungi." So we looked at lion's mane, turkey's tail, and cordyceps, which are three very different, very unique types of mushrooms, each which have different chemicals in them which help our body in a certain way. So we went through this process of, okay, will they actually survive the space flight? Will they actually, you know, survive being grown back on the Earth? And most importantly, will they still taste good? Will they still be good for us? And it's a really fun and definitely a very unique process.
Yes, yeah. So let's just be clear on what happened. I mean, they weren't grown in space. When we say space mushrooms, what actually went up to the space station and then what happened when it came back to Earth?
So before you see the mushrooms that end up landing on your plate, they're actually part of a network called mycelium. And mycelium is this like beautifully fine web-like structure that is essentially, you can consider it the root for the mushroom. It is made of this fundamental thing that allows the mushrooms to grow. So when mycelium is reaching the right conditions, it has the right temperature, the right moisture levels, it will begin to fruit. And the fruit, quote unquote, is the mushrooms that we see. And typically that's a way for this mushroom to reproduce. And so we sent up the mycelium. We sent up this network to space, that fundamental thing that we need for mushrooms to grow. And we sent it up in little vials. So we had a few different conditions for them. And we really just wanted to see, would that mycelium root actually survive the stresses of space and then be able to be put in conditions where it felt safe enough essentially to reproduce, to produce a fruit.
So did you expect are there reasons to think that if you send something into space in the way it was packaged that it will come back differently?
Yeah, there are. So there's been multiple different experiments done by us and other groups around the world.
Yeah, because you've been sending stuff up to the space station for years, haven't you guys?
We have. We've been very privileged. Our first payload went up in 2017. So we're almost a decade into this. And we find that with each biological system, something different happens. Some bacteria absolutely thrive. Some bacteria absolutely despise it. We find that plants, they really struggle, but they still grow, which is a testament to their ability to try and survive. And we even see that humans, they don't love space, and yet our bodies are able to adapt when we land back on Earth. So we had these working theories that we know that some other fungi that's not edible has been up in space and even was grown in space accidentally. This is back when we had the Russian MER space capsule, where they found fungi that nobody had sent up, but yet had survived and grown in space. And so we had all of these pieces saying that, yes, fungi was probably going to survive. Whether it was going to enjoy it or not was another thing. But because fungi is so resilient on the Earth and so adaptable, we really had high hopes for it.
We're speaking with Dr. Sarah Webb on Sunday Extra, who's eaten space mushrooms, and we'll find out what they tasted like shortly. But tell us now, Sarah, so what happens when this mycelium came back to Earth?
So it went on probably the journey of a lifetime. So it went from the United States, was packaged by some incredible mushroom farmers up there. So these people work with creating strains of mushrooms that they can send around to different mushroom farmers to keep variants of mushrooms basically safe and healthy. And so Mainkap and Stem were able to test these strains of mushrooms to make sure that they were going to hopefully survive, they were healthy, and that they had the best odds possible. They launched to space. They spent time in microgravity over a month and a half. They splashed down into the Gulf of Mexico. They then got transported back to Texas. They then hopped on a plane back to Maine and then all the way back to Melbourne. And that process took over 6 months. And so they were really doing a world tour at this point. And so when they got back to us here in Melbourne, the first thing we did was have Aussie Mushroom Supplies, who are the company who helped us ensure that the mushrooms were going to get to that fruiting stage. They put them into something called a fruiting block. So they let the mushroom, that mycelium network, really grow, really get to a point where it was healthy enough to start fruiting. And then we were able to grow the mushrooms from there.
And then we get to the cooking. Now, did you require some sort of long ethics approval to be able to do this, or were you pretty confident that it was going to be all right?
We were pretty confident it was going to be all right. And mainly because we worked with those food grade mushroom suppliers. So we knew that these strains were food grade and food safe, which allowed us to be confident in us eating them directly from the fruiting block itself. Essentially, we cut it off and we fried it up, and it was really tasty. It was actually almost anticlimactic because it was so tasty.
Did it taste different from other mushrooms? Could you taste the space in it, Sarah?
I couldn't taste the space in it, but it did taste different to other mushrooms because the one that we cooked up was something called lion's mane. And it's a really fun mushroom if anyone would like to go and have a Google of it. It just looks almost alien-like, which is a perfect setting for space. It gets these little tendrils on it and it almost tastes kind of seafoody, kind of almost like it's been plucked from the ocean. So it was a really interesting tasting mushroom.
Does this process, obviously great for the students involved, does it have potential implications for developing foods for use in space?
That's exactly right. It does. So even though the students help us come up with these concepts and these, you know, we give them the program to be able to hone in on all of the skills it takes to send things to space, all of the samples are then analyzed by our experts in the labs. And so at the moment, we've got different experts, so those who have PhDs in different things like biochemistry or bioadaptations. And then we also have our graduate students who are going to be working with these samples over the next few years. So it's a program that is the gift that keeps on giving. Not only is it phenomenal for outreach, for educating the students and the public, but it's incredible for training our next generation of scientists, which I'm exceptionally proud of.
And just out of interest, what other stuff have you been sending up to the International Space Station over the years, Sarah?
So we've sent plants to space several times. Our first attempt was back in 2019 with chia seeds, and we were unlucky enough that our experiment was actually housed next to something that was exothermic, so something that was generating too much heat, and we weren't able to get germination. But in 2023, we've redeemed ourselves with a few different plant species, and we're able to get a decent amount of growth in their chambers, and I'm writing a paper up on that at the moment. So that was a really happy thing that happened, because plants really they struggle to adapt in a microgravity environment. We've also sent, we've made yogurt. I believe we made the first official yogurt in space. There's rumors of an astronaut who cheekily made his own yogurt up in space many years ago, but ours was the first official NASA signed off yogurt experiment. So that's different bacteria that you put into milk substrates, and the bacteria eats it and is able to create lactic acid, which is able to ferment essentially the yogurt that we would eat from our fridge. And that's really important for gut health as well. And we've even sent human teeth to space.
But human teeth? What was the thinking there?
So what we wanted to understand was how bacteria coat a tooth in space, especially when there's limited saliva. So astronauts either experience dry mouth, where they're not producing enough saliva, or this sounds like my personal nightmare, too much saliva. Ooh. And interesting thing is, because you're in microgravity, your liquid doesn't just fall and flow with gravity, it balls up. And so the risk of developing cavities in space, especially for long duration space flights, is tenfold, because you're not being able to neutralize the acidic bacteria on your teeth. And so we were trying to investigate that.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. I mean, it sounds like I suppose you've only done space mushrooms and space yoga, which sounds like the sort of things that you could eat with space teeth, even if they had a pretty rough time in space. But all of this has been on the International Space Station. Mm-hmm. Now, that project's coming to an end, isn't it? Does that mean that this program and the benefits that the secondary students in Victoria have been getting is going to come to an end as well?
Thankfully not. So even though the space station is destined to end its operations by 2030 or in the early 2030s,
still a while away, yeah.
We've still got a while away, but then we've also got some commercial space stations that are being developed and tested right as we speak. So there's multiple pathways that we still have access to space, which is phenomenal, not only for this program, but for the thousands and thousands of experiments that rely on microgravity to test so many fundamental things, many of which directly impact us here on Earth. So if this is something that anyone is passionate about, I encourage people to go out and learn a little bit about some of these private space stations, advocate for access to space, no matter where you're from, because it is really important. And hopefully we'll see that it will not only boom in the 2030s, but maybe take off to a whole new level.
Fantastic. Well, good on you for eating the space mushrooms, and thanks very much for speaking about it with us on Sunday Extra today, Sarah Webb.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Sarah Webb, astrophysicist at Swinburne University. And on Sunday Extra, it's 31 minutes past 8.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.